welcome to episode 70 of Divided by Werewolves. I'm here, Mitch is here. I have a new version of Audio Hijack, which probably means that this isn't working. So, hope for the best. You're gonna, if it doesn't work, you missed out on the most amazing show ever that we're not gonna fucking redo. So,
right.
The problem, like, here's the thing. So, we switched from using Skype to using Audio Hijack. Quite a while ago, the reason being that, you know, Skype got to a point where they were basically like, look, you can either update Skype or you can not use Skype anymore. And so, and I had so many bad experiences with, like, right before a show, and this is going back to the JTS days, is like right before a show, Skype like, oh man, there's an update, no worries, it'll only take a minute, and it takes fucking half an hour and then completely trashes Skype. So, you know, we hadn't used it updated for a while, but then once they updated it, the panel, which is what we used to record the show, was just like, yeah, I don't work with that anymore. So when I got Audio Hijack, it's pretty good program. I enjoy it quite a bit, but you know, when I get the, hey, there's an update, and I'm like, really? Like, are you sure? And they're like, nah, man, we got you. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I did it. And they're like, oh yeah, no, the part you use, there's another update. And I'm like, no. No Skype. No.
Audio this is Hijack. This is what podcasting on a balling on a budget is like.
You know, exactly. I've heard Discord is really good for it too. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're kind of limited. There's and Audio Hijack, actually, I mean, I paid for it. It's not, you know, it's not free or anything. It's not, which is why it's better than, you know, like recording on, you know, with Pamela. They've got a whole bunch of different profiles depending on what you're trying to do. So, but yeah, I mean, that's, but yes, you are absolutely correct. That
I think Discord is, I think we tried several things when I did my episode with Robin on Synapse Logical. And I think Discord is where we finally ended up. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, that makes sense, correct? Because you guys did your show first, and then he and I did it. So I wonder if you guys paved the way for him and I, because, you know, I ain't about to pay money for this show.
Because I know we had issues. Whichever one we tried first, it would be like I could hear him or he could hear me, and it didn't sync up with the other right away. But we finally figured out something that would work. He did. You know, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, so it had to be.
Your talent, that's beneath shit. Talent doesn't work out that shit. Trying to tell me I roll up to the spot. You expect motherfuckers to get this shit worked out. You got a waiver and yeah, rider on it and everything. Dicking around, please. Places to be. Important people to hobnob with.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so we got a bunch of stuff to talk about as usual. I don't know why I would say that. It'd be weird if I was like, we have nothing. Good night.
Yeah, we're just going to shoot the shit for 30 minutes and then call it a show.
30 minutes. If we could do that in 30 minutes, that would be amazing.
I know.
We'd have to get into like a fight. I feel like it'd have to be that. Or it's like, I just can't with you right now.
Yeah.
And then that would be that for another 45 minutes.
Well, then we just text each other for the remainder of the time.
Just trying to out-gif each other. But yeah, so let's see. So we're going to talk about Shazam. We're going to talk about Pet Sematary. But before that, so we're both continuing to play The Division. I finished the last story mission. Well, not the, I mean, I don't know what they call the last. You get to a certain point, and if you're a high enough level, you could do them in whatever order you want. It was the last one for me, where you have to turn the shade network back on or whatever. And
oh shit, I did that.
I'm saying they're not in any particular order. Once you hit the level requirement or I guess recommendation for the missions, you can do them in whatever order you want. Because I know, you had done it before that, but when you get done with the last mission, there's like this cutscene, and despite the fact that in every other cutscene in the game they have subtitles, this one did not. I had no idea what happened in the final the final movie. I was like, I gotta watch this shit on YouTube, because I'm assuming that guy is giving a very inspirational speech, but fuck if I know what he, I mean, that's the president. Fuck if I know what he's saying.
That's fucking hilarious because like I didn't consider that. And so since, you know, that like, cause I always went by the, if you go to progression, it says what your priority should be.
Yeah.
And so I did that mission and I was like, wow, this really feels like the end, but I'm only at 73% of the story mission. So that's funny that you got that one last. Cause obviously I think it's probably meant to be last.
Right.
And I still have three to go.
Right. But, and then the strongholds, like the level requirement for the region where this final mission is below the level requirement for the last stronghold. Mm-hmm. So even though you're done with the story missions and I'm the same way, I'm like 80% or something. I still have the three strongholds to go, which means I can't get my specialization until I do it. Yeah. But I mean, I'm still enjoying it.
I like it a good bit.
It's funny though, how, you know, the, if you answer the call, it's like, they have no problem just like dropping you in a mission with like 5 minutes left. And then you finish the mission. They're like, okay, you're done. You don't have to do that one again. And you're like, oh, really? You're like, yeah. Take a shit and go. Oh, cool. Thanks, man. You know, which on the one hand, you know, I appreciate, but on the other hand, you go, well, you know, I don't know if – I think so many people are in just such a rush to get to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I like the missions. I would have no problem kind of doing them on my own. Like, if they said, no, you got to do this on your own to get credit, I don't really think that would bother me. But I think so many people are just focused on just get me to the end.
They are. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that we have Twitch streamers and people that play video games for a living on YouTube and shit like that. Like, it seems like a lot of people are in a rush. Like, the people that do it for a living are absolutely in a rush to get to the end game. But then there's so many people that consume that content.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're left behind, or they're behind if they're not where that Twitch streamer is or that YouTube person they follow is.
Yeah.
And they're like, holy shit, I have to. It's the same thing with Destiny.
Right. You know,
every time a new light level cap comes out, everybody's racing to be the first one to 700 or whatever the new level is. And I'm sort of fallen victim to it before. You know, I got in such a fucking, like, I was so upset about the Black Armory because I couldn't do it.
Right.
Because the light level, the difficulty was so high. And it was so high that Bungie actually adjusted it back down so people could actually fucking do it. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I can't even play this. I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do with Destiny anymore. I'm going to have to quit Destiny. I don't want to quit Destiny. Like, I was upset.
Right.
And I think that's just the way gaming is these days, because it's become such a thing, like, that people watch it just like any other content. But if they're actively doing the same thing, they feel like they need to be at that level as soon as possible or they're going to be behind.
Right. And what's weird about the Division in this case, like, I can understand going, well, I want to get my specialization. Like, I get that. Like, okay, now I can get new weapons or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the end game in this game, you know, is you having to do just kind of harder versions of the same thing. Like, that was, you know, one of the things in Forsaken that I could more someone understand kind of wanting to increase your light level, is because, like, the Dreaming City, you couldn't do that. And when, I mean, you legitimately could not do that. You'd get your, I mean, it just would be bad.
Yeah. It was difficult to say the least.
So, you know, I can understand, like, why you would want to, get your light level up. So that way, you could actually take part in that content, just like what you were talking about with Black Armory. Whereas, you know, in this situation, it's like, okay, yeah, there's stuff you can do, but you've actually done this stuff already.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
That's the part that I'm like, okay, well, I guess I get it, but I also don't understand what the rush is to do just way harder versions of things you've already done. It'd be like if, you know, if you busted your ass in Destiny just so all you could do was Nightfalls. Like,
Well, I mean, it's the looter shooter mentality, right? So it's like, as long as there's more loot, you'll do the same shit over and over.
That's the other part. Like the loot in this game is just not nearly as compelling as Destiny, right? Like, okay, great. It is the exact same, foul, whatever, fucking 9,000 or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, the exact same light machine gun that I've had, right? It's not like the
gold version of that LMG. Yeah.
Right. It's not like in Destiny where, you know, maybe the weapons might change in a significant way.
There's no grenade launcher in this game that fires around and explodes and becomes bugs and chases down enemies and explodes again.
Right, exactly. And so for, you know, for a looter shooter where you're on that, I think what people wanted was to get the specialization, and then they really wanted to try to get to those different world tiers.
Yes.
Because, you know, from a loot perspective, the guns are, I mean, and I have not had any exotics yet other than the one I got from pre-order.
I'm not even 30 yet, so.
Yeah, but even so, there's some that'll drop. I've heard there's some that'll drop at like a level, you know, like 20 or 22 encounters. I have not.
I would just like to have all gold gear.
That trophy today.
I'm ready to start chasing the masks. You know me, I'm all about a mask. In anything, in life, in general, you know, anything that I could cover my hideous face with, like, I'm like, fuck yeah, here. Dude, give me a fucking mask all day. If I could get away with wearing masks in my everyday life, I would. I have.
Well, you're back in surgery, so you'll be able to.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. But like, I have so many masks in this house, and it's like, it's funny. Like, I just would really like to live in a world where it was completely acceptable for me to wear a mask to go to work. Like, let me wear a hockey mask to work. That would be amazing.
That would be great. You show up in your hockey mask and they're like, has anyone gone over the dress code with you? Oh, yeah, no, it's cool. I talked to Sheila in HR.
Turns out it doesn't specifically say I can't wear a hockey mask.
So you show me the employee handbook where this says I can't wear this. I'll wait. Exactly.
I did that, actually. This is completely off topic, but we went to we drove a very long way to an in-store for an Insane Clown Posse album, and we hadn't eaten. And mm-hmm. It just so happens that this record store was next door to a Domino's Pizza. And so me and Gene and Greg, my brother, we went in. We were like, let's go get a fucking pizza. I'm fucking hungry, and everybody's hungry. So we go in there, and the guy, the kid who's like working the counter, he's fine with it. Mm-hmm. But his manager comes out of the back and he's like, oh, you guys got to leave. And we were like, we were painted up like face paint. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you guys got to leave. And I was like, why? And he's like, oh, it's we can't serve you. And I was like, why? I was like, we got money. We're not causing trouble. We just want a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's corporate policy. We can't serve anyone whose face is painted. And I was like, can you please go get me your handbook?
Yeah.
And show me that policy, please. Like, I'm not trying to start trouble, but please go get me the book and show me where it says that. And he's like, oh, I know you guys got to leave or we'd have to call the cops. And I was like, oh, okay, brother, whatever. So we didn't get any pizza. And I was like, are you fucking serious? We're not starting trouble. We're being respectful. We have money.
Right.
Fuck is your deal, dude? Fuck out of here, Flanders. That's not in the goddamn handbook.
Big M&M fan, that guy. He's like, oh, I see what's going on here.
Right. We just don't look like you, so you want us to leave. Go fuck yourself, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's funny. I'm at the point with Division. Like, I feel like, okay, like, I'll keep playing. I got it digitally, so I'm good to do whatever. But, like, this guy I work with, you know, he was kind of telling me about some of the world tier shenanigans, and I'm like, fuck if I, you know, I ain't even about to get involved in all that bullshit. Like, if it starts to get to a point where, like, it is, you know, as frustrating as he was kind of making it out to be, I'll just peace the fuck out. And
yeah, I'm ready to start Spider-Man.
You know, I mean, I'm good. Like, I'll keep playing it, like, as they add stuff, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not gonna really worry about it too much if it turns out that, like, you know, I get to a point where it's just really, you know, kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Like, wow. I want some gold gear, and let's just be realistic. Once I get the first mask, I'm not going to get the others. I'm like, you know what? I look badass.
All right. So, on to movies. I watched some really bad horror movies on Netflix. Holy shit.
There are lots of them.
I always get stuck, and I'm just like, oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, no.
And I watched this one called He's Out There with...
I've scrolled past it a million times. I've never watched
it. Don't. Same thing.
Somebody's in it.
Yvonne Stravinsky.
Yeah, Chuck's girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to watch it.
And I did, too. But then I was just like, you know, I mean, I watched it. I watched the whole fucking thing, and I was like, honestly, I did it more because I was like, I'm tired of looking at this goddamn movie and being like, what's the deal with this thing?
That's like you watched The Vault, and I never did. The James Franco thing.
Which wasn't a bad – I don't think that was that – actually, honestly, that wasn't that bad. But yeah, you're right. There was a time where all I could see was James Franco and his big, stupid 70s mustache.
Exactly. They're still trying to get me to watch it, dude. I haven't watched it.
I think because they know I watched it. They're like, okay, cool. We got him. We're good.
Yeah, he'll watch anything.
Well, no. They're just like, well, we don't have to keep telling him to watch this thing because he's already watched it. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what we did watch of actual things, that's a terrible way to say that. I don't really know why I put it that way. What do you want to talk about first?
I don't care. Whichever you want.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you that the thumbnail for the episode is Shazam, but it doesn't matter.
Why don't we do Pet Sematary first?
Okay, sure.
So I genuinely do not remember Pet Sematary from the 80s. I read the book, and I remember reading it as a book. Like, it's funny because, you know, Pet Sematary is a book Stephen King said that, like, he published it to get out of his contract with Doubleday. And, yeah. You know, it's kind of more like... I guess just as much like a meditation on kind of grief as it is an actual horror book. And he says now, like, I would not publish this book again because it's pretty dark, even by his standards. It's a fucking dark book. And I remember reading it as a kid and being like, God damn. But I don't remember the movie. And I'm sure I've seen it because, I mean, I was such a huge Stephen King fan, especially back in the day. That if a movie, you know, if they made a movie of his shit, I would have watched it, but I just genuinely don't remember it.
Yeah, well, I think I'm a fan of the movie, the '89 movie. I also read the book in high school, but I think that honestly, I can't imagine you not remembering certain parts of the movie had you like seen, because like there's shit in that movie that I will never forget.
Really, like what? Because maybe we're gonna have to spoil this movie, so don't.
Yeah, I don't mind spoiling 89 because if you haven't seen,
it... Yeah, no, but we need to spoil this one too.
Yeah, we will. But yeah, Fred Gwynn or whatever, Herman Munster, he's Judd in the 89 one. His death scene alone. If you see that shit one time, I feel like it sticks with you.
What happened?
Well, like you know, when Gage is evil and he comes back, the first thing he does is go to Judd's house, and when he kills Judd, there's a very graphic Achilles tendon cut with a scalpel, where he cuts Fred's Achilles like deep as fuck into his ankle, and he falls down, and then Gage jumps on top of him, and the guy screams, and then Gage takes the scalpel and goes across his mouth too, so he gives him like Joker lips and shit.
Oh, maybe I didn't see it then.
Jesus Christ, dude, I will never forget that, because that shit hurts to this day to watch. Like, as I rewatched it, but me and Holly watched it before we saw the new one. Because she had never seen it, or if she did, she didn't remember, or something like that. And I was like, "Look, you'd remember if you'd seen it." Because this movie,
maybe I didn't. Then
it's fucked up. I mean, first of all, you've got a toddler being hit by a fucking semi,
right?
And while they don't necessarily show the hit, that tiny shoe tumbling into frame.
See, and I do remember that. So maybe I saw like a made for TV. Maybe I saw it on like TV or something, and so they cut all the bad stuff out of it.
Yeah, dude, there's some grisly shit in it, man. It's a hard watch. I still think it is, especially if you have kids. Because obviously, when I saw it in 89, I didn't have kids, but
That doesn't bother me. Like, even, I mean, I have kids, and I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I want my kids to die. I mean, I get more emotional at things like, you know, this is the car commercial because their kid's going off to college. I'm like, you know, whatever. But like, if there's like a movie or something where like a kid, you know, dies, again, I'm not specifically looking for it, but it doesn't like, you know, I know some people that like once they had kids, they're like, I could never watch anything like that again. And I'm like, yeah, that's about me.
I could never say that I would never watch it because obviously I still do, but it definitely, like, those movies hit me harder than they ever would have before. I don't know. It's just a thing with me. And Pet Sematary, like, now it really, really fucks with me harder than it I'm sure it did at 89. Like, at 89, I probably thought that was badass, but holy shit, when he cut his fucking Achilles and then sliced his fucking face, like,
yeah,
that was hard fucking core. Like, that's the shit that I would, like, I wouldn't turn away from the screen, but that's the kind of thing where I just sit there and I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
fuck, right? And so now when I watch it, it's the shoe that tumbles into the screen. Like, yeah, the Achilles still, it's still pretty fucking graphic. And it's like one of those things. It's like fingernails to me, like we talked about on an episode not too long ago.
Yeah.
Somebody's fingernails come off when they're like clawing to.
Yeah,
to,
when they're being dragged or have to like
escape.
Holy
shit, yeah. Dude.
Well, didn't like, they do that in Hostel? Didn't the guy like in the bathroom or whatever get his like Achilles cut or something?
I don't remember Hostel that well. I mean, it's happened a lot, but it's just one of those things, right? When I see it, it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it's like, you know, but 89 Pet Sematary does have its problems. The guy who plays the dad is awful. Awful is putting it lightly. Like, he's really bad in the movie. Like, rewatching it, I was just like, wow, that dude is terrible. And other issues.
2019 Pet Sematary has plenty of problems. Personally,
okay, well, yeah, we should probably talk about that one since that's the point of the goddamn show.
so how do you feel about this one? Because I mean, you've got more experience with the first movie.
Yeah, well, I've seen it the first one a million times. This one I've only seen once, but it's funny. There were changes that they made that I had a much larger problem with than the ones that everybody got so fucking bent out of shape over in the trailer and the poster.
Okay, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned the trailer because when I watched the last trailer for this in front of us, I thought to myself, what the fuck, you just showed me the whole movie. And then I thought, there's got to be more of it, and there wasn't.
Nope, I knew that. That's why I didn't watch it.
I'm like, what the fuck? Because the first trailer was great, but then the second trailer literally shows you the entire goddamn movie except for the very end. And I was like, why the fuck would you do that? This movie is an hour and 40 minutes in the first place. 10 minutes of that's probably credits. What? Why do you need to condense the whole thing down into a minute and a half?
Yep. And I feel like I wonder if – because this happens all the time, right? And I wonder, especially in the circumstance of a remake, if they feel like it's okay to give more away because they assume people have already seen the movie. Like, I don't know. Maybe. But I knew –
but it was literally like every beat of the trailer was the exact in the exact order of the movie to where it really did feel like a 2 minute and 12 second condensed version of the movie.
Yeah, a trailer shouldn't be the Cliff Notes version of the movie.
Right.
And that's why I stopped watching trailers. I keep talking about this, but
I have not seen one this bad, and I can't tell you how long.
Yeah, I went back and watched it after the fact, after I watched the movie, because I was like, okay, I know what the poster gave away, because there's no
way. What did the poster give away?
Oh, that it's – are we doing spoilers, I guess, now?
Yeah, obviously? We're spoiling this movie.
Okay, so that it's
Ellie. We're going to spoil both movies.
So it's Ellie that dies and comes back instead of Gage.
Well, that's obvious from the trailer. You know she gets hit by a truck.
Well, sure, but I didn't want to watch trailers. I wanted to see the movie.
So is that what people were pissed off about? That it's the girl?
Yes.
That makes more sense. How the fuck? Who's going to be scared by a fucking 2-year-old zombie? Of course not.
The book. That's the book. It's Gage in the book. Okay. So, and it's Gage in the first movie. So that's a pretty major change.
It's just really, swapping one dead kid for another.
Still, if you've read the book and you've seen the first movie, you expect it to be Gage in the new one. All and right. so,
but having to be the daughter, get their panties in a twist over.
Oh, they did.
Why?
I don't know, man. Because it's 2019, dude. We got to be mad about something every day.
People suck.
Yeah, they do. So anyway, me, I was like, everybody's like, Pet Sematary trailer spoils a major thing. Don't watch it. And I'm like, wasn't going to anyway. Thank you. And then they're like, look at this poster. And I was like, you motherfucker. It's the same thing. It shows the spoiler on the poster. Why do you put an article up today that says don't watch the trailer? And then the next day you post the goddamn.
I swear to God, I can't tell you how many times like. It will fucking piss me off that a site will be like, you know, I don't know if they think they're being cute or what the fuck their deal is, but they'll be like, you know, character leaves Arrow, and then they show a picture of the fucking actor. Like, okay, fine. Like, This ain't radio, motherfucker. Like, you put in the headline that it like, I'm not looking for Arrow spoilers, and then you throw that shit up with a thumbnail. Exactly. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what the fuck? It just was on yesterday. You can't just hide that shit. Come on now.
No, right. And that's the thing, right? It's all clickbait bullshit, but it's impossible to be a fan of the things that we're fans of and exist on the internet and shit not get spoiled because it's like you go to CBR or whatever, right? Yeah. And they're like, major X-Men character dies.
Yeah.
But then it's like a silhouette.
Yeah.
But it's like
with wings. So you're like, really? Yeah, okay. Like, how many?
Or like the hand with three claws.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, oh, who could that be?
You're like, oh, fuck you. Beast needs to trim his knuckle nails. Yeah.
Right. So that's just the way it is. And like everybody is looking for something to be mad about.
So it's funny because like I know you don't give a fuck about Game of Thrones, but this final season I'm super excited for it. But I was like, I said to my wife, like, okay, like I can't read like anything on the internet the Monday after the final episode until I can watch it. Well, fuck it, somebody at work didn't start a Game of Thrones Slack channel. And I was like, motherfucker, like now I can't even like, I can't, they're going to be like, I can't even talk at work, like jump in the channel because I don't want to have shit spoiled for me.
Yep.
So.
Well, the other thing is like, all right, so say I decided that I was going to start watching Game of Thrones. I've seen half of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
If I decided today that I wanted to start watching Game of Thrones, I already know 98%. What happens in this show, just because I hang out on the internet.
Right, and I get that. Like, I think that's fine, because, like, I am not of the mind that something being spoiled for you means that it ruins all enjoyment, right? Like, I think that's just me personally. Like, I think there's certain things, I think that, you know, like, obviously, huge twists you don't want to, but at the end of the day, if something is well made, you can still enjoy it. It's the same reason why you can rewatch something, still enjoy it, and then you get to a part where you like there's like I'm a fan of Anthony Jeselnik, the comedian, and he's got a bit at the end of his second record, and I won't go into it all. I've heard it a dozen times easy. Or like Dane Cook, right? Like the fuck shoes, that line kills me every time. Mm-hmm. And I know it's coming and I know how he says it, and it's the same thing with spoilers, right? Like obviously you want to go into something cold, but just because something was spoiled for you doesn't mean that all hope is lost. So I get that. But at the same time, it's like, there's no need to have to, like not everybody, especially nowadays, my God, it's not like before where, like, if you didn't watch Law and Order on a Thursday night, you didn't have anything to talk about at lunch on Friday, right?
Right.
You know, like, nowadays, everything is in such a, you know, nobody watches things, like, linearly, that there's no guarantee that anybody watched it the night it happened.
Yeah.
But
that's like, but for Game of Thrones, it's funny. Like having not only seen half of the first season, and it's not my bag. It's just not my thing. Yeah. And I knew that going into it, but everybody was so into it. Even my brother was the reason why I watched Game of Thrones as long as I did, because it's not really his deal either.
Uh-huh.
And he kept going on and on about how good it was. But it's funny that even like now, here we are coming into the final season. I don't remember which channel it is that I'm subbed to on YouTube, but there's a I don't know if it's IGN or it's but one of the bigger channels, but they're doing a series where they're interviewing actors about when they died on Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And I was like, well, fuck.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like, why would you do that?
That's
like,
funny.
Not everybody's seen every episode or is like chomping at the bit or is like on HBO at 10 o'clock or whatever when it comes on. And so if I were to start today, you know, it's fucking IGN.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already know all the people. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So back to Pet Sematary.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So I did not like the movie.
Okay.
I was talking to my wife about it. I actually was talking to my kids about it too. And I said, like, most horror movies, like, I understand in horror movies that, you know, oftentimes you're kind of, you know, kind of preying on people doing the wrong thing. And sometimes it's not their fault, right? Like, I mean, you know, when if you're going to go smoke pot and get laid at Crystal Lake, like, you don't expect a machete-wielding maniac to murder you. Like, that's just not something that maybe, you know, so that's not your fault, right? Or, sure. But I mean, there's always the classic things where it's like, don't split up. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, things like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in this movie, like, to me, I feel like if the entire, like, horrible things that happened to you could have been avoided by you just being a responsible parent and having a conversation with your kid about death, like, that to me, I go, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And it bugged me, too, because... One, the girl's 9. Like, I know if a pet dies, that's a big deal. I remember when my hermit crab died. That was a big deal. I pulled him out of his shell and he had fucking mold on him. So that just goes to show you what a good hermit crab parent I was. I was like, he apparently had been dead for quite a while. Anyway, the point is that, you know, like the little girl, I mean, nobody wants to pay. Like, it's a tough thing. When you're a parent and you have kids and you decide to get a pet or you have a pet, you always have in the back of your mind, there's going to come a day.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have to explain to this kid that things can die. And it's just part of being a parent. It's a shitty conversation to have, but if you're a good parent, you have it and you don't do it in a way that, you know, you don't traumatize a kid, but you don't set up kind of unrealistic expectations about death either.
Right.
And so then first of all, they're just like, we should tell our kids about death. And then the wife's like, no, instead, I'm going to tell you about this trauma about my sister, by the way, who I think I murdered, that you've never heard about before because it never came up in the however many years of marriage we had together.
Right.
And then
at least 9, you'd think, right?
Yeah, at least 9. I mean, you know, and then he's just like, yeah, no, I get it. And then, like, fucking Judd, he's like, I know my dog went apeshit crazy and tried to bite my wife's face off when he came back from the dead, but I figured yours would be different. I'm like, it's a cat. Cats are fucking evil to begin with. That cat doesn't give a fuck about you. And you think it's going to be somehow better than Biffy? The fuck out of here.
To that point, I will say I felt like this movie handled that particular plot point way better than the 89.
So how did they do it in 89? Because here I felt like it was awful.
Well, it's exactly what you just said, right? Judd's like, yeah, well, if you buy them in the pet graveyard, the pet cemetery, sometimes they come back. Sorry, that's my horrible...
That's amazing. That is
my
amazing,
horrible accent,
by the way.
From the
I love it.
But in this one...
Down is battle.
Yeah, sometimes down is battle. But, but in this one... And having watched them almost back to back, I feel like it kind of helped me out on this new one because I actually liked it.
Uh-huh.
This is part of the book as well, which also reminded me.
Mm-hmm.
But even though Judd knew that it was a bad idea, he said there was a force. He felt something that was pushing him. To do it. And it's like, it's the pet cemetery itself. It's whatever evil force is going on there that it's clouding his judgment. It's almost making him want to do it.
I gotcha.
That's not a thing in the 89 one at all.
Okay.
The pet cemetery itself in the 89 one is just a location. In this one, it's much more of this, almost,
Right, which they set up with the vision that the guy had in the hospital, and then his wife, kind of seeing her sister. But they don't. I don't feel like in this one they, if that was what they were going for, to kind of explain in the book that it was telling Judd to do it. I personally did not get that, but
sure. But and you're right. Like it's not as much of a character even in this movie as it is in the book. The Pet Sematary and the Wendigo and all the things.
Like he mentions it, but that was about it.
Right, but even in this movie, they mention the Wendigo and all that. They don't even mention that shit in the 89 one. The 89 one is just like, you bear something there, it comes back.
Right.
And they don't really go into it. So this one, I give credit for being closer to the book in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the first two-thirds of this movie, it's way closer to the book. Now, the 89 one is close to the book.
Mm-hmm.
But this one does just enough different. Even with the twist being Ellie dies instead of Gage, this one goes more into the supernatural, shit behind the Pet Sematary, which I was like, that's really cool that they would even, at least I know that they've read the book and like they wanted to make that point.
Yeah, and I mean, that is one thing that they do, but I don't really feel like they just tied it well into it. You feeling like it was the pets of it, like the student that gets hit by a car or whatever, and he can't save him, and the guy's like the veil is thin, and you're just like, okay, well, what is that? Like it just felt somewhat disconnected, and the the wife having the kind of the nightmares about her sister. Well, I just took that almost to be like, well, yeah, she just talked about this thing, so this trauma is kind of fresh in her mind. And they mention, like that, we moved here for a reason, and like they kind of hint at other things that they don't really get into. And I know so Stephen King, he'll do that in his books, like when Ellie comes back and then, she's saying like, your wife's down here, she knows what she did to you or what you did to her. Like he'll do shit like that, right? Like where that there's something else kind of going on and he doesn't really explain it.
Right.
And so I kind of recognize that as a thing that he does in his books, but it just felt more disjointed here to me because some of that supernatural stuff that, we're talking about, I feel like you had to have read the book in order to catch it. And if you hadn't read it, you were just like, okay, why is this guy having these weird visions? Because they never then connected it to the Pet Sematary itself.
Yeah, that's a very good point. This is one of those situations where coming from having read the book and knowing the story and being a fan of the 89 movie, you're right. Like this new one definitely raises a lot of questions it does not answer for sure. But the 89 one does as well, at the end of the day. Like I think a lot of King's adaptations do that, though.
Yeah.
The Dark Tower. Jesus Christ. Well, like, that was makes no sense.
Yeah. How do you fuck that up? Like, how do you fuck up Roland? Come on.
How
do you have who you have in that movie and it's boring?
I know. But, that's the thing, right? I think a lot of King's movies or, like adaptations of his stuff are done in the mindset of, oh, well, you've already read the book. What? Look at this. And the other thing, and I don't know how you felt about it. I mean, you didn't like the movie, but this is like The Mist for me.
Which I love.
I love The Mist as well. It's a fantastic movie. I do not like the end.
I love the end of The Mist.
Oh, not me. No, I mean, having read the story, I don't understand why they had to do that. I mean,
I've read the story too. Myra and the Flower. I remember that shit clear as day. I love the end of that movie. I love that they had the balls to do it.
I mean, yeah, sure. For the shock factor, sure. But why? Like, why?
It's not even for the shock factor. Because I feel like that's a genuine reaction to what if you honestly feel like that's what your world has come to. You're not going to try to, and you got your kid there, your wife's dead, there's fucking monsters out there, you're in a fucking Jeep Wrangler, what the fuck are you going to do? Okay.
Yes, I get that, but why did the fucking military have to roll up three?
Oh, that part.
Like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's a little twist of the knife. Absolutely.
Come on. Like, yeah. I'm fine. All right, let me reiterate. Or let me bring it back. I'm fine with how it ends. I just
I agree.
Did that have to happen?
Yeah.
And so this movie, because the 89 movie ends not necessarily. The 89 movie does a different ending than the book.
Yes.
It tells you, it goes one extra second, and it's not even on screen. It goes, you know, the same thing happens at the end of the book that happens in the 89 movie. His wife comes back, and she walks into the kitchen, and she says, honey, or whatever it is. And that's it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't tell you whether she's evil or not. Well, the movie is like, no, she stabs him with the fucking knife. He's dead.
Yeah.
So this one, I was like, okay, I don't understand why we have to go completely off the fucking rails in the third act in this movie, because I was into it so much for the first two thirds. And then you get to the third, even with the twist, I was still into it because I thought it added some interesting, a little interesting dynamic there. And maybe it's because I have a daughter who's about the age of Ellie, but when he's combing her hair in the bathtub and he sees the staples and the shit, I was just like, fuck.
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, and I'm just like, motherfucker. And then the thing she's saying, and then when the wife comes back and she's like, hug your daughter.
Yeah.
And she obviously knows it isn't her daughter,
but
he's kind of batshit Looney Tunes at this point because of his grief.
Right.
Like, that shit hit me like a truck.
Yeah.
But then you get to what we get, and I can only hope when the Blu-ray comes in that there's like an – I'm at least going to listen to a commentary and hope they had another idea for the ending, because it felt like such a missed ending to me, and it was unnecessary.
See, and I feel like I think the ending was supposed to be that eventually he realizes that he made a mistake. He made lots of mistakes. He tried to fix it, but ultimately those mistakes were his ultimate undoing.
Oh, yeah. No, I 100% know what they were going for. I just don't understand why that was the ending.
Well, but it fits, though, with the rest of it. Because this movie is about two people doing nothing but making terrible choices. With the wife, not so much. Like, if the wife had just been like, had agreed with him and been like, because it was his idea to say, look, we got to tell her that Winston died. And then she was like, nah, because I killed my sister. And he's like, no, cool, I get it. You know, and so if she had agreed with him, then none of it would have happened. I feel like this movie is basically just it's just people making bad choices. So it made sense for that to follow all the way through, and I think that even in the book. Or if the 89 movie, you know, kind of goes closer to the book, then you can assume that this is a foregone conclusion because he made equally bad choices there.
Right.
And eventually they kind of come home to roost.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see that. I don't know. I feel like the 89 one is fucked up as a watch as it is. This one had more of a mean streak to it at the end. And that, you know, but again, you're talking about the guys who did Starry Eyes. So that sort of, I probably should have expected it, but this one, like I'm not saying the 89 one had a happy ending. It obviously didn't. And it's just as fucked up, but I don't know. This one, I was just like, I'm watching it and I'm just like, when that fucking, when that thing comes through dude's chest, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. Was not expecting
Ellie. Oh, I figured once I realized that the girl had dragged her mom out there, I was like, well, mom's
see, that's the thing,
back.
Right? I wasn't expecting that to be like Ellie to be the one to bury the mom.
Yeah.
And like, oh man, that's like when Ellie killed the mom, you know, in the 89 one, they don't even show Gage killing his mom.
Yeah.
You know, he just calls the house and the dad answers. He's like, first I played with Judd, then I played with Tommy.
That's now right. I remember that. Yeah.
And you're just like, fucking shit. And then the wife comes out of the attic with a noose around her neck.
Right.
And you know that he killed her.
Right.
This one, the fucking, when the mom dies in this one, Jesus Christ, dude.
Twist of the scalpel there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Man, this was fucking gnarly. But I still, at the end of the day, you know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I don't like horror movies where I. Lately, we've talked about this before with, Green Inferno, where I'm like, I hate all these people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why do I care? Yeah. Like, except for the one guy, the big guy that, you know, they eat his eyeball. You're like, well, I feel bad for you. Yeah. But everybody else, I'm like, you're fucking annoying. Like, I don't like any of you. So why do I care that this is happening to you?
Right.
So now it's just me spending 90 minutes watching people butcher other people. Like, I felt like the same way here. Like, obviously it's not the kids' fault, but like the adults, I'm like, you're supposed to be adults. You're supposed to be better than this and you're not. And now all this shit happened and I'm supposed to what? Like, I mean, obviously I'm not saying that I want people to die because they make poor choices. It just really bugged me that, and it was such a simple thing too, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's easy. You go, look, here's what happened. I'm really sorry. We'll get another cat.
Yeah.
I have kids. I have dogs that died. I had a dog that we had to, you think explaining to your kid that, a dog died is bad. Try explaining to your kid that you have to get rid of the dog, give him back to who you adopted him from because they bit your kid in the face. Yeah. Try having that conversation and then having the exact conversation for literally a year. So
yeah.
I've been there. I get it. But this ain't zombie, you know, being you're talking to right now. So handle your shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's the same. Well, it's the same thing, right? We talked about it before. Like, it's more fun to watch a movie where you can root for the bad guy.
Yeah,
than it is to watch a movie where you're supposed to care about somebody and you don't, and then you watch them do one dumbass thing after another.
Right, and this wasn't like running in, you know, in the forest with heels, right? Like, it wasn't anything like that. It was just like, you're a parent, man. Come on, do your job.
Yeah,
but anyway, I was glad it was short. I mean, and I'm not saying that because I didn't like it. I'm saying it because I don't subscribe to the notion that every movie has to be 2.5 hours long these days.
Sure doesn't.
So.
I'm too old for that shit.
No shit, right? All right. So
on to one that was 2 hours long.
Exactly. My preferred movie of the two, Shazam, which I haven't read Shazam, and I've never read a Shazam series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an understanding of the comic from mostly from like ancillary stuff in other DC properties.
Sure.
But what I knew about him, I always thought was pretty badass. So there's a lot of stuff I think that happened in this movie that if you were like a fan, you probably were like hoping would happen, but wasn't sure that it was. But for me, it was completely unexpected, which made it, you know, even better. I really enjoyed it, even though I feel like it, you know, because they were definitely going for like a younger audience. You know, I mean, you can kind of make the case that some of the stuff, I think, you know, maybe if you were like, you know, like I could see if you watching this movie as like 12, 13 and just thinking it was the most amazing thing ever. And then going back and watching it later and being like, I don't remember that being that cheesy, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, I still enjoyed it quite a bit. I think, Zachary Levi did a great job playing, because I mean that's a tough line to go, right? You don't want to be like super annoying. You've got to kind of hit that right. I thought he did a great job. I thought all the kid actors did a great job. I feel like it dragged a little bit in the middle.
I would agree with that. Yep.
But and then, you know, the villain, I understand they were like doing a deep cut and, you know, The Rock's trying to make his own Black Adam movie, but you know, Dr. Savannah, like, I was kind of like, I get what you're doing. Like, that's, you know, you kind of got, like, that's kind of a shitty thing to do. Be like, bring a fucking 12-year-old in and be like, oh, yeah, by the way, you need to resist the voices of the seven deadly sins. Oh, yeah, by the way, adults listen to them all the time.
Right.
No, you know, and they'd be like, oh, you're not pure of heart. Fuck you. Get out. And then Lex, you know, fucking Lionel Luthor is pissed at you because you made him crash his car.
Right.
That part I just was like, you know, in so many of these movies, like, the villain has to be just as good, and I just didn't feel like that was the case here.
Also, like, not to make apologies for it, because, you know, God knows this is a DC movie, so your boy over here is going to have to apologize for it.
I don't think you do. I think it was a genuinely good movie.
But yeah, I honestly feel that way about a lot of these movies where they're introducing a new hero. I think the villain almost always takes a step back. They pick one that's not necessarily the main one because they want to give that villain the spotlight in a future thing.
Well, and I do think in this case, they can't, I mean, you can't, I don't, again, and I don't know enough about Shazam to know who his big villains are, but you can't do Black Adam because you
cannot.
They're trying to do.
If the audience doesn't know who Shazam is, you absolutely cannot introduce Shazam and Black Adam in the same movie.
Right. And so then you're going to do, you know, Ben Dr. Zavon at that. I mean, he is Fawcett Comics. He's the man. But then you're like,
sure, but like for the movie's purposes, he was fine. I didn't think that he was a bad villain.
And they're not going to be like, oh, by the way, here's this mind controlling caterpillar. Don't worry, it makes sense.
Talk about deep cuts, man. My favorite fucking mid-credit sequence of all time might be this movie.
I got to tell you, though, I was watching with my kid, and when they, you know, when Billy first goes in, or I don't know if it was Billy or if it was Savannah, he first goes in, and they show that little terrarium, and I was like, no shit. I'm like, oh, my God, no way. And then when they showed that it was...
No, they're not.
Yeah, when they showed that it was broken, I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah. God damn it. The comic book nerd in me lost my shit. I was like, they are not. I was like, yes, they are.
Yeah, I wanted to hit my kid, but I wouldn't be able to explain, you know, in the short period of time, like what, you know, but I'm like, shit's about to go down.
Just your fucking mind. Are you serious? Yeah. Oh my God. I could not fucking believe it. Oh, spoilers for Shazam, by the way.
Yeah. I'll put it in the notes. But I, you know, honestly, and the part at the very end that brought in the Marvel family, I did not see that coming.
I didn't either, and I should have. I absolutely should have. I felt like I should have. That was the thing.
Yeah,
and I was like, how did I not?
Even like at one point, like when he like it took me forever. Like it wasn't until like you know Shazam or Cat Marvel there saves Mary, and she said her name was Mary, and even then I was like. Well, that sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh, yes, Jesus' girlfriend. So, you know, I wasn't even like Mary Marvel.
His
like,
mom, not his girlfriend.
Whatever. I'm not. No offense. It's a complicated story.
That's amazing. I love it. So, but that was my first hint. That was what I, because I thought, oh, Mary Marvel, okay. Still didn't connect with me that it was out. It was going to play out the way it did. I was like, "You fucking idiot! Of course it's going to play out this way." Like,
but I mean, and that's where I think you know there's a difference between expecting something and hoping for something, right? Like, I think if you're a big Shazam fan, you're hoping maybe that comes in. But
well, my thing was like sequel. I was just thinking sequel. Yeah, cool.
But the moment they did that was, I thought, was perfect. Put you over here and say my name. Like, Billy Batson, no!
Yes, that was so good. So. Like, man, this is, and this will sound like I'm complaining or sound like I'm trying to diss the movie. I really liked it, too. I didn't say that out of the gate. But I agree with you that the angsty or the him being an asshole shit ran a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
I think they established that well enough that they didn't need to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But because that's time they could have maybe devoted more to the villain because I feel like the way it started, they almost wanted him to almost feel like a sympathetic sort of villain.
Right.
But they didn't give him enough time or enough character development that you gave a shit about him.
Right.
Even though I kind of think it was implied. So they spent way more time showing you or showing the audience what a 14-year-old would be like if he suddenly had superpowers.
Right.
And I'm like, we got it. We got it.
Right. And one of the things I liked about that whole sequence, though, was and it was one of the things I liked about, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming is, you know, this framing of, you know, it's so often that, you know, when movies have – like it's kind of the reverse of a problem I always have in zombie movies, where nobody knows what a zombie is. And I'm like, are you trying to fucking tell me that right. In your particular universe, the concept of a zombie doesn't exist, right, to where everyone is like, I don't get it. They're dead. Right. You know, and so one of the things I liked about Homecoming was this idea that, okay, Peter Parker is a teenager in a world where it is established that there are superheroes. And it's the same thing in this movie, you know, like he's, you know, like Freddy's got, you know, like he's got a batarang replica. He's got a bullet that was shot at Superman, but they're also kids of this generation where everything gets put on YouTube, everything gets shared, everything gets captured.
Yep.
So what would that be like? Like if you were best friends with somebody who just became a superhero, you'd film all the dumb shit do. And that whole sequence was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the fire invulnerability or that.
Exactly. The testing what his power, because he's like, what are your powers? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
Right.
Like,
I love in the robbery. When they're like, oh, well, maybe the suit's invulnerable. Shoot him in the face. Yeah. Shoot him in the face.
Shoot him in the face. I love that so much. He's like, shoot him in the face. And he's like, what?
Like, just like the dumb, like, I mean, just the, and it's not, look, I have teenagers. I was a teenager.
Exactly.
When I say teenagers are dumb, I'm not saying it as an insult.
Same
I mean,
thing.
Their brain just isn't formed in a way that allows them to make
right
decisions.
Yep.
So I could totally see somebody doing that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Jesus. Well, even in Heroes, they did that, right?
Where
the cheerleader, she goes and she jumps off the fucking thing and the guy's filming it. Like,
right.
You know, there's so many things. And that's interesting to me because then, not to get off of Shazam, but like we watched, me and the kids watched Scream 4 this week, which I haven't seen. And
I forgot how that's like the meta Scream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had forgotten how good that was. I watched that a while ago, like maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago. And I remember being done with it going, holy shit, I do not remember this movie being as good as it was.
It's funny because it came out in 2011, and that was before I watched YouTube all the time.
Yep.
And I did all these, and I was on like Facebook or whatever, but like I wasn't on the internet like I am today.
Yeah.
And it's incredible that Wes Craven foresaw the way that 2019 is going to be, because Scream 4 is 100% a 2019 movie that came out in 2011.
And what's funny is I remember watching that movie with Emma, you know, Emma Roberts. I made it sound like I was watching with Emma Roberts, which that would be amazing. But like seeing Emma Roberts in it, and at the time, like right now, if they made Scream 4 with Emma Roberts, you'd be like, oh, she totally did it. Or she'd have a bigger role. But at the time, she wasn't that big of a deal. So when, you know, and this is for me post, you know, Scream Queens and American Horror Story and all that stuff. And it still completely took me by surprise that she ended up being, you know, involved with it. But,
So it's just funny how things, you know, and this movie ties perfectly into a 2019 teenager superpowers, all that shit.
Yeah.
Scenario. But that movie that came out 8 years ago, good God, it was 8 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
But it's funny how it's perfect for today. Like my kids could not. Their eyes were glued to the screen.
Yeah.
And when the reveal happened, I literally watched Caitlin's mind get blown when the reveal happened. But they'd never seen any of the other ones either. So, like, they were brand new to Scream. It was just on Netflix. And I was like, I don't know, whatever.
I
was tired of scrolling, so I put it on. And I was like, I hadn't seen it in a while. And I was like, Jesus, fuck it, that was fucking good.
Yeah, it was much better than I remember it being.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back to Shazam. I think too, like, you know, I there was so much about the movie that I liked. Like I liked Aquaman. I just felt like it was way too long. And maybe I haven't watched it again since I watched it the first time. And I think there is a difference between sitting down and watching something, you know, at home, or maybe you've got a little more time to kind of let things stretch.
Absolutely.
As opposed to sitting in a theater, like in the movie, I really did appreciate all the stuff that they were doing, but I just felt like, you know, there was a level of world building being done that was at the expense of just kind of like things that people kind of really cared about, I guess. But this movie, I feel like Aquaman, like Wonder Woman, like, I mean, kind of these, not necessarily one-offs, but, you know, like these where they have the opportunity to kind of, you know, spend some more time with just on one character as opposed to more of like an ensemble thing. I mean, they really are just fucking nailing it. And I rewatched that Joker trailer, and I got to tell you, I was a lot more into that trailer the second time I watched it than I was the first time. I think the first time I was like, I don't really know what this is going to be. And then I watched it again. And I was like, okay, yeah, nope. I want to see what this thing ends up being. Because I think these movies,
I'm so fucking stoked for that movie.
I think when they take when they can take a minute and they get they have a director that doesn't have to fit things into a particular, is not necessarily trying to fit something into a greater narrative necessarily. They're able to kind of focus on the storytelling beats that they want to for what they're trying to do.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're just killing it.
Yep. I agree 100%, man. That's my thing. Like, I know everybody thinks I hate all the Marvel movies. I don't. I just would so much prefer, and this whole cinematic universe shit, it's just not my thing, man. I would much rather watch, like, Black Panther, right?
Yeah. Black Panther can totally exist outside of...
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was in Civil War, and yeah, he was badass. But had I never seen Civil War, could I still watch Black Panther? Abs-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think...
That's what I like.
And I think, honestly, I think Ragnarok is the same way. I mean, I know... Mm-hmm. I feel like that movie, if you just kind of knew who Thor was, like, there was enough kind of back... You know, they did enough with it that... You could enjoy that outside, and it almost worked better that he wasn't, you know, him and Hulk weren't part of Civil War. It was like a, you know, it was a weird kind of buddy.
I fucking love that movie. That's comedy. One of my favorite Marvel movies. And I guess the what you could say was like, well, yeah, he likes Taika Waititi or whatever, right? Because he loves What You Do in the Shadows. No, I think that Thor Ragnarok is just a fucking fun comic book movie. Now, my major complaint with that movie goes back to the trailers. And
Yeah, that was a huge mistake.
How fucking amazing of a moment would it have been if you didn't know that Hulk was the champion in the arena?
Right. Which if you're – and again, though, that goes back to being a comic book fan, right? Like, I mean, it was pretty clear, like, they're doing Planet Hulk, so you would know. But I agree with you.
Like, you know, like you say, like, don't engage with it. It's almost impossible. To be a fan of these things and have an internet connection and not see this shit.
Right, but you want to be a fan. Like you want to be able to see a trailer and be excited, right? You don't want to have to say, well, I'm not going to watch this, that, or the other because either I'm going to get to be spoiled or people are assholes, right? Like, so you know, like, I'm not, you know, when I say don't engage, I'm not trying to be dismissive. It's more of just a, you know, kind of a defense mechanism, so to speak. Because I do the same thing. Like, I'll watch two trailers at most. Although I will tell you, I don't know. Did you see Shazam and IMAX?
No, I don't do IMAX. Okay. I've only ever done one thing in IMAX, and that was because I have to drive a really long way to go to IMAX theater. The only one that I drove the distance and went to was when they re-released The Dark Knight in IMAX.
Okay. So there's a theater by me where my son and I go to see most of our movies. And if you go to the early show on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, 10 a.m., the price for IMAX is the same price as if you were to go to a regular show.
Oh, well, fuck yeah. I'm doing that every time. Yeah, for sure.
So we went to see Shazam in IMAX. They had an IMAX-specific extended look at Godzilla, King of the Monsters, that I swear to God, I feel so bad for whoever had to clean up after me, because that scene is wet as fuck. Holy shit.
I've seen nothing.
Dude, I'm telling you, the only reason I mean, I've seen some stuff, and we've talked about this before, like, I was not as much of a fan of Godzilla, because I was like, hey, if you're having a movie called Godzilla, you might want to show Godzilla. It's just full on just monster porn. I was like, I was so excited.
All I need to know. I don't need to know anything else. I was already going to see it.
But it was fucking amazing. It was like a movie, like almost like a movie in and of itself. Like, there had stakes. I felt for characters. And when this certain thing happened, I was like, oh shit. Oh shit! She's doing that to call. Oh my God! You know, it was fucking amazing. It was amazing. It was totally worth, I mean, I was, you know, like I said, it was more of a convenience thing because it was like, it was the only like early show. And I was like, fuck it, I like IMAX. I mean, I don't feel like the Shazam experience was any better in IMAX than a regular movie, but being able to see that, fuck yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, like, not that The Dark Knight was enhanced in many ways, but it being my first IMAX experience ever, like, I'm very happy that was the movie that I saw in IMAX, and I haven't seen one since. Because around here, I don't know if they have it, and it's the butt of many a joke for me when I talk to people who have nicer theaters locally than I do. We have the Big D. I don't know if that's a thing where you are or not.
It is not. There's no. Sadly, my wife would tell you there is no Big D anywhere near here.
That's 100%
small to barely mid-sized D only.
Exactly. So if IMAX is like the if you're buying Magnums, you know, for your IMAX D to watch your movies in, around here we only go as far as the Big D.
Yeah,
and that's a very subjective thing, but it's like the theater is nowhere the screen is nowhere near as large as an IMAX screen, but it's slightly larger than a regular screen, so it's the Big D.
I gotcha.
And a lot of things, a lot of the movie, the 3D movies, they always play on the Big D. I don't do 3D because I'm 98% blind.
Yeah,
so
me too.
All it does is make the movie harder for me to watch.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot of Big D, but I did see the original Godzilla in the Big D, and I'm not saying it swayed my opinion, but I will stand by the statement that is one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. I fucking love that movie.
I need to watch it again. I need to see where it's streaming.
I'd wait
and watch
for the
it
next
again.
But just based on how I feel about the other one, and then who's doing this one? Yeah, fuck yeah, sign me up all day long. I don't need to see a trailer. I don't want to see a trailer. I want that excitement to come from that experience, that excitement, that feeling to come from the movie itself, not a fucking trailer that I watched a year before I got to watch the movie.
Well, it's close. I mean, it's at the end of May.
Right, I'm just saying though, like, you know how they'll drop a fucking teaser. They'll drop a teaser for a teaser, and then a teaser for a trailer, and all it does, I'm like, fuck.
Right.
I just want to watch the movie. And they're like, oh, it comes out in 2022.
Right.
I'm like, fuck you. Like,
right. Yeah.
So I'm done with trailers at this point, basically. Unless it's something, I don't know what it is, but if I knew I want to watch the movie, like, I'm not going to watch trailers anymore.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, if go see Shazam, and then you can kind of decide on your own whether or not you should go see Pet Sematary. Mitch would say yes, I would say probably skip it. But
if you are a fan of the book and or the other movie, I think that, because I don't think this one does anything so drastically different that it will sway you one way or the other. It's just an updated, much better looking version of the 89 movie with a way more fucked up ending and not as cool of a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So
if the coolness of a cat is a concern of yours.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you like Church the way I do from the first movie where he's fucking charcoal gray with glowing yellow eyes, you may not like this dumpster dive looking trashy ass Church in this movie.
I was like, you know, how many Like, are you going to give the cat a bath? Give the cat a bath? Like, I know giving cat...
That cat.
I know giving cats a bath is, like, a risky proposition, but this is one fucking jank-ass cat. Like, what the fuck, man?
I've literally seen cleaner stray cats.
No shit, right? Like...
Like, at least it had better hair. Like, I don't know what the fuck was wrong with this cat. Like, this cat looks like it, like, chewed on an electrical cord and somehow made it through it.
What's funny is, too, because, like, when he kept trying to, like, you know, then go kill the cat, and he couldn't. I remember, I got a cat when I was a kid, right? Like, my sister decided that we were getting a cat, and she could convince my mother, so we got a cat. And my grandfather told me, and this is not a lie, He said, "Let me know when you want to get rid of that cat. I got a bag full of rocks, and we can take him down to the river."
Jesus,
I was like, "God damn, this motherfucker knows what's up about how to kill a cat. You can't figure that shit out? Like, come on now." Yeah.
Although I will say, one of this sort of just reminded me, because like the whole Pet Sematary thing is obviously when you bury something, what comes back is inhabited. It's being used as a vessel for something far more sinister. Like it's not obviously
not your cat, right?
Like, so that I felt like one of the really creepy things the new one did that the other one didn't do at all was like every time Church would like screech, it was demonic.
Sound
that Church made in this one, that was not a thing in the original. I was just like, Jesus Christ. Like this one goes out of its way, not out of its way, but this one does a whole lot more to explain to you exactly sort of what is happening here. So,
Right.
I thought Church in that respect was way cooler. Every time he would screech, it was like fucking demonic. And I was just like, shit.
Yeah. That was a fucked up cat. Absolutely. All right. So, I guess next would be Hellboy. Although,
fuck Rotten Tomatoes. Fuck them.
I don't know. I've not read a review that I'm like, yay. I mean, I'll still go see it.
Fine. I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah. So
I know.
but that's next for us. I don't know kind of what's next.
There'll be something. There's already shit that I can't remember. So
right.
But definitely Hellboy. I'm excited for Hellboy next weekend.
Yeah. So
this weekend, not next weekend.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So that's been episode 70. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. Hopefully whatever we do next time, you'll be here with us. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night. I got the button all queued up and have a good evening.